are now moving to the next session is the last four morning session with four lightning talks. The first is utilizing OSM with QGIS from Mr. Ariel Domi. To present, please welcome Mr. Ariel Domi.
Good morning, everyone. So I would like to introduce myself. So my name is Ariel Dome. I'm a fourth-year student here in UP Diliman, currently taking BS Geography. So I was just being tapped by my advisor to have a quick talk about how we can utilize OSM data with QGIS. To give you a little background, OpenStreetMap is a open crowdsource map dataset which contains a lot of useful data, which includes road networks, point data, and other stuff. And the OSM is also an open source GIS software where we can able to map a lot of things, which is very helpful. A perfect combination, especially here in the Philippines, that we still struggle to access different datas that we want to try to map and do some studies. So today, I want to show you a sample map that I created, wherein I do just a simple analysis of hospital accessibility in the country. Although I have to put a note that this is still open for contestation because there are still gaps on the data in the OSM database. Here I just use a plugin in QGIS, which is called Quick OSM. And I just type the key value pair, for example, amenity, and then choose what kind of value you would like to input, which is hospital. I'm currently working on a study on hospital accessibility in the Philippines using enhanced two-factor analysis. But for now, it's just as a simple analysis using OpenStreetMap. And you can see in the map that there are 1,642 hospitals across the country, and 8 out of 10 municipalities lack any hospital facility. So it's really, really hard for the people of this country to access healthcare. So that could be all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ariel Domi, about the session talk. Very insightful. And then the second lightning talks from Yabes Butar. He will talk about open mapping potential in Jakarta Metropolitan, study cases of map recapture in Depok City. To present, please welcome Mr. Yabes. Yabes.
Okay, first of all, let me introduce myself. My name is Yabes Butar. I've came from Jakarta, from Yotmapers chapter at ONJ. In this morning, I will talk briefly about open mapping potential in Jakarta Metropolitan, study case of map recapture in Depok City. First of all, look at this map. This map is the map of the whole Jakarta Metropolitan area. Consisted area of Jakarta as a special capital provincial here in the green color, and then the rest are different kind of city administration consists Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi. Bogor is in the south, in the very south, yeah, and borderline with the Tangerang, Bekasi, and Depok. And Depok is exactly in the south of Jakarta area, and then Bekasi is in here, and Tangerang is there. So you see the Jakarta area is a very, very, very huge area of city. Maybe it is called as a megapolitan because it consists like 33 3 million of population in total, this whole area. I will talk specifically in this area in Depok, exactly borderline with the South Jakarta. Yeah, in here, you can see the red dots. The study case is here is the gang or alley roads in Depok City near Universitas Indonesia. For adding the context, Universitas Indonesia is the number one of university ranking in Indonesia, and it consists it has a geography department. So like you see in here, and then why I choose this kind of place, because simply this place is my hometown, this place is my permanent residential, and then I've ever have a time to walk freely, opening up my mapillary to see is there any kind of contribution in here in this kind of alley roads you can see here. Yeah, and surprisingly, you can see here as the example, right? There are no any sort kind of contribution in maple railroads at all in this whole area of alley roads. Not even alley roads. There are no any kind of significant contribution in the collector roads and the connector roads, right? You see here. It's empty. It's really, really empty. Why this is need to be highlighted? Because these roads is super busy. These roads is super crowded, and overall, these roads, this kind of residential is the place hometown of the students of Universitas Indonesia, the big university one, and they have their own geography department. They have all of their resources to some kind of like mapping all this whole area. But it's empty. It's just consists at the main roads, the contribution. And even the main roads is contributed by the card itself. The last it is update is like 2018. Yeah. So basically it's an outdated data. Yeah. From this case, I've speculated that the open mapping exposure, the open mapping exposure still doesn't have significant engagement either in the most of the students or even in the local community. And then from all of this, we can see the positive things that the big impacts could be done. The potential of community-based mapping are huge. I think the case is not only in the Depok area, these super crowded, these super busy roads, but I think this case is happening especially in the whole over metropolitan, and in this context in Jakarta, and there has to be a big potential then that this just happened in the other metropolitan. Thank you so much for the time. Yeah, terima kasih.
Thank you, Mr. Yabes, for sharing your knowledge with us. That's amazing talk. And then the next session is from Mr. CG Kapuli about people data tracing movement with GPS. To present, please welcome Mr. CG Kapuli.
Hello, it's an honor to be in front of very great people working with open source data. And I am not from that background. I'm actually from Inkiro. It's a Globe subsidiary company. And we're trying to use our data for good, data for good campaigns of Globe. And hopefully this morning I can share with you what we can do when we merge OpenStreetMap, open source data in general with what we have in Globe. So Inkiro is the data analytics arm of Globe. So we have millions of data, and we have 29 called MAIDs. It's the IDs used to like track you, essentially give you ads, essentially. And we have 54 million of data of globe for the SMS, like when you call, like there's 54 million people, essentially. And then we have access to 600 attributes. So globe, I mean, this sounds evil, but globe knows like your gender, what age you are, like where you go, because we have GPS. So like what the usual application is like, okay, where people go, maybe if they enter like McDonald's, we can send them ads of McDonald's. If they go to like Jollibee, and then you get ads of Jollibee. But like how, I mean, this kind of like incredible, this is incredible data, like billions of GPS points we can use to like do something else. Like what do you do, guys, in like OSM? So in this case, I'm gonna be showing you some case studies that I did with Inkiro. So this is an example of like very common occurrence in the country, like flooding. So like how can we like do something with floods? Maybe, I mean, we can send SMS. We know people are, I mean, floods. We know where it happens, when it happens. Like before the flood, we know the typhoon is coming. Like maybe we can send SMS like before it even like happened. So this is an example of like what we can do. So this is in Makati. I'm not sure if everyone's familiar. It's like the it's like where businesses are in the Philippines. So this is the GPS data. So we can track like hour per hour where people are. So for example, here are the mall clusters. Like you have the green belt, the One Ayala. It's here. You can see people. So when it's more purple, that means more people are there in those times, like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., you can see like where people are. And then on this side, we know who they are. So like we know the distribution of adults. So like most of them are adults. We know their class. So like affluence, like who are struggling. And then we know their gender, civil status. And then we know where they usually come from, like region. Are they from Barm? Are they from like Metro Manila? Or are they from Ilocos? And then next, this is a more like granular level of data. So we know like, for example, he entered like, I don't know, a mall. So we know from this data, at this hour at 9, mall opening, at Monday, there are like 1,000 people in the mall. And then at like maybe Friday at like lunchtime, there's more people. And so we can see here like how many people are in the mall, like what time they usually go. So on the aggregate level, the malls can see like, okay, at this time we usually get a lot of people and we know their age. So if we know their age, maybe we can send the we can like I don't know, maybe open mall open more like promotions for those age groups. And then for this one, it's more like it's a big scale. So this is like months. So January, they are usually, let's say, in Caloocan or maybe in Manila. And then February, they're usually in, I don't know, Quezon City. So we know. So like the diagonal line is if they stayed in that city. So if they are found in Caloocan and then they're found in Caloocan again, it's going to be darker. So this means like places like Pateros are not popular destination because it's usually like the poor areas of Metro Manila, so people don't usually go there. They want to go to Manila, they want to go to Quezon City, and then they don't like the Navotas for some reason. So let's move on. So I'm trying to like just get everything here. So this is a case study for Typhoon Cabayan 2 years ago. It's in Mindanao, so we are now getting in the like in the gist. This is what I wanted to present. So on this one, Pag-asa already know where the typhoon is going. Like it's December 17, it's here. 18, it's here. And from census data, they usually just have like a few samples. Like maybe they only know like where they are, like, I don't know, 2020. But this happened in 2023, those people might not be there at this like typhoon at 18. But we know, because we know per hour, we know like a month ago, we know where people are. So we can send them SMS. We can send them like some kind of like, maybe, oh, get out of this area, like replace the mall with like flood risk areas. So we know when people are coming into the flood risk areas, when people are like going into the earthquake prone areas, we know when people are going into places at risk. So we know, and we want to help like some kind of like maybe some way for the LGUs to connect with this kind of data. It can really help a lot of people. So I'll just show you this maybe last few slides. So this is a more granular study for the bridge. So again, this is a typhoon scenario. It's Typhoon Krising. So as you can see, people in the Ayala Bridge, we know like they are there when the flooding happens. And as you can see on the next slide, on this one, and this graph, higher on the y-axis, it means more people are in the bridge. This is the time. So you can see, usually the bridge are occupied, like more people are in the bridge at around 8 to 10. But in the flooding hours, you can see there's a big drop here. It means because it's flooded, because there's a typhoon, they're not in the bridge they're not there anymore because they want to avoid that bridge. And then at the afternoon, they maybe some of them still went to work, and then now they're coming home from work. So this is the kind of data that we have. We have data of like GPS, and then their maybe pattern of their like habits, like when are they there. So takeaway last for this one, I want you to think about like for this problem. This is the problem we had last year. So we have GPS, and we want to know like maybe where they live, because when you have a location of their house, you can now track like maybe at this hour, if they get a heart attack, like the poster like below, like how far away are the hospitals? If they're far in the house, how far away are they from the maybe a rescue team, from the fire trucks? How far away are they from help? Because when we know their home, we can plan so many things. And the takeaway is try to think about like using these data. How do you think get their houses? And again, this sounds evil, but we're trying our best to like steer away, maybe like complement our like evil work in the globe and like giving ads. And hopefully you gave us an opportunity to work with you guys and work with more people that do things data for good. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that insightful presentation, Mr. C.G. Kapuli. It was truly informative. Okay, we are going to the last morning session with the lightning talks from Mr. Ewan Neal, all of 5 kilometers. To present, please welcome Mr. Ewan Neal.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all the volunteers. Big round of applause to all of them. They've done so well. I'm talking about all of 5 kilometres, but it's a little bit of a circuitous route. Talking about mapping and on bicycles. So I do a fair bit of cycling, and I use Strava, which uses my GPS, and I store it. But Strava is sort of semi-open source, not open source. It depends on the time and the venture capitalists. But it captures all my data. So this is a 75-kilometre bike ride in the country of Australia, down the bottom bit, -2 degrees when we started in the morning, beautiful day. And it captures all the data. I can gamify it by seeing whether I'm the fastest one on that route, if I'm the only one who's ever actually done that route. But let's go and talk about Manila. So I want to cycle through Manila, but what's the best routes? So I can actually bring up Strava and have a look at the heat map, and then have a look at start looking at what might be the best routes for me rather than trying to go out onto one of those freeways. So it gives me an indication of where I can go. So we're starting to get community involvement. I want to take you back to COVID, but in Victoria, we had a lockdown. So I could travel 5 kilometres for 1 hour. So I could go out to the end of 5 kilometres from my home, come back. That was about it for an hour. So we did actually have a lot of traffic stops. And this is a photo of just around the corner from where I lived. So it was pretty intense. So what did I do? I did every road in that 5 kilometres. So basically went out to the end. All of a sudden we got 2 hours, so I could actually do a little bit more around. And it did take about a year or so to do all of those. But once again, let's gamify it. And so you can actually then go and see whether you're on the leaderboard or not. And you can't see that, but... And so you can see that a whole lot of other people have actually ridden all of those roads in the local area. And you can actually go, there's three layers of that. And you can actually see what roads you have done, what roads you haven't done, and go back and do those ones. But you can see that Nathan is the leader there. Nathan and I have been challenging each other for a while. And unfortunately, he's winning and I'm down at 10th now. Mainly because OSM have put in new roads or have slightly altered the location of those roads or changed the privacy of those roads. So that it's probably the roads still exist, but in a different form. So whilst I'm doing that, I'm doing mapillary as well. And you already heard from Bapak about mapillary. And so I did a whole lot of photos. A lot of those I did at night time, so I couldn't take all of those photos. But you can see that it was covered a fair bit. And you can actually then have a look at where you've ridden. And this is one of our main roads in Victoria. Yep. So one of our freeways. And so you can actually see the quality of this bridge here, which is dates back to the 1900s. And it's probably not for trucks, this one. So then you can actually map it very, very precisely by looking at all of these images and going through and mapping it. If we survive. Yeah, we had fun there. So going back to the area, I can then map in OSM more about that detail. And this is from the first route I showed you, and you can see that there's exquisite detail in there, not a lot elsewhere. And so the more mapillary you do, or more whatever photo source that you want to use, then yeah, go for it. Get those cameras out and really try and take photos that will assist in the future. So my next move is I can bring all of my data that I've got in OpenStreetMap and in Strava and a whole host of things, and bring in all of that and put it into QGIS and then show, well, where I am with, and this one is all the rail trails, all the old railway lines that have been closed and are now bicycle paths. Where am I with all of those? And so you can actually bring up a very quick map in QGIS with all the data. And I used a lot from a whole lot of different open sources. Along the route, you can go and find some... So this is one of our camping adventures. And yeah, that's... you don't want to attack mum. You've got to be very, very nice to mum there. And then you then see a whole lot of beautiful country. Please get out there, enjoy yourself, go for a bike ride, go for a walk, but also consider OSM whilst you're there. Thank you.
Thank you so much for interactive session from Mr. O'Neill.